Hello, my name is Jane Nemro. Hello, cows. You're listening to Quasi Indefatigable Gentlemen. Someday I'm going to have to break down and bring in the definition of it in the car so I can actually talk about it. It's interesting how we finally got around to the name. I think I talked about it once, but it might bear a good thing to talk about it again. I was talking about teacher education before, and finally got down to the point where we talked about the fact that it's just basically kind of a school management program. For a teacher, it's more a classroom management program, and that's really what these things are. Your teacher doesn't spend a lot of time teaching anything, because frankly, their college career wasn't designed that they actually know anything. It's as simple as that. Because most of the classes you take to get into education, they don't have to do with whatever subject you're teaching. They have to do with education. This thing. And it's a management program. That's exactly what it is. They stretch it out and make it into four years so they can give you a bachelor's degree for it. They tack two more years on so they can give you a master's for it. And they have little extra classes because that's important, because teachers always need to be getting more classes, because that gives everybody the impression that they're better, that they're smarter, that they have more information to impart to kids, that they're going to be better teachers. And that's really what it ends up being. They're just teachers. Are they fonts of knowledge? No. If you have an English teacher, are they experienced people with English language? No, of course not. Because that's not what they're basically there to be. They're basically there to manage your kids during the day while you're not there. That's basically what it is. Education happens because education's always going to happen. Education happens every single second of the day. They do it at school at an incredible cost to people. They could also do it at home for almost nothing. And they would probably get the same education, although usually homeschooling is better because, well, shoot, you don't have all those games. You don't have the whole management system. Although I know a bunch of people that are really wanting to do parent training, which I'm sorry, akin to me, is teacher training. They want all parents to behave the same, too. I'll never believe that. I'll never believe that's a good thing. My kids have very different attitudes from other kids for the sole reason that they're my kids. You know, the government could come down and say that I'm not a good parent and they'll take my kids away for totally philosophical reasons. Because I'm not teaching my kids the right thing. You should teach your kids to love school. That's important. The importance of school is paramount to the government. And if you as a parent, if you aren't spelling that line, we're going to send your kids to a home where they will learn that. That might be coming. You know, I don't know. I'm always grateful. I am always completely grateful for incompetence. I'm grateful for incompetence for those who are allowed to invade our lives, or who are assigned to invade our lives. School teachers are that kind of people. Politicians are those kind of people. Civic leaders are those kind of people. I'm glad they're incompetent. I'm glad that they spend a certain amount of their time trying to screw the system. I'm glad that they're doing all those things, because when they're doing that, they're typically leaving me alone. You know? I'm grateful for the incompetent teacher. If I had a really efficient, really good teacher, I'm afraid a lot of independence in the kids would be lost. And that would be a terrible crime. Thank goodness school doesn't work very well. If it did, I wouldn't be able to let my kids go there. Right now, all my kids are in school, which you might think is odd for a guy who seems to really like homeschooling. I homeschooled for a while. No, I didn't homeschool. My wife did. My wife finds this very difficult. I think she hears what I say, but it's hard to break out of those cultural things. If you look back at some of God's said things, that's one of the big themes of God's said, is the difficulty, even if you know that things could be better, staying away from your culture, there's still this incredible need to have your culture. And it's a security issue. You know, your society provides you a great deal of security. In exchange for that, you have to toe the line with that society. You have to believe what that society supports. Now, you have to understand that our society is driven by a lot of things. Mostly, it's driven by corporations and by government. You know, we are supposed to go out and buy lots and lots of things. If we're not buying lots and lots of things, the news reporters start getting concerned. Our economy isn't as strong and robust as it once was. And you go, well, that the whole measure of what a strong economy is how much money are people going out and slapping down all the places. I think it's silly. I think it's a silly measure. I think lots of things are silly measures. I'll give you some other examples, maybe some other time. I think we often look at many things wrong. What is a convenient number to pull might be the wrong one. When you talk about the economy, you talk about how much money is constantly changing hands. You know, and in a certain sense, that's bad. Because that means you have to work hard to make more money to buy more stuff to prop up the economy. And that doesn't necessarily lead to individual happiness. That wouldn't bring me happiness. Of course, everything in our culture says happiness comes from having the things that we want. And it usually has to do with possessions, probably pretty expensive ones. Nice car. You might want to have a boat if you're a boater. You know, you change out your computer every 3 years because you want to have the newest and the best that can run the latest software that's the best, and yada, yada, yada. And it's this whole kind of revolving thing about that you can't ever be satisfied with what you have because you need to constantly be out buying more. Of course, we all have the consumable things, and that's also another great thing. We have a very consumable society. We tend to grab things and throw them away much more than other people would. When I'm out traveling, I get to watch TV. And I was looking at some of the commercials they have on television right now. One of the interesting ones right now, I was looking at all the Swiffer commercials. That's the new thing, Swiffers. What it is is kind of a variation on a mop. It is a one-use mop. You put this little, for want of a better term for it, you put this baby wipe on a stick with a hunk of wood at the end, and you use this thing to clean your floor. And their whole selling point is that you're not just pushing dirty water around like you would with a mop. You use this disposable baby wipe, and when that thing's dirty, you throw it away, you put another baby wipe on it. But you're constantly throwing away this whole bunch of things. And it's wonderful. It, you know, all of a sudden, is a disposable mop head. And so these guys make a ton of money selling you these disposable mop heads, even though if you would have gotten one that was made out of, you know, a normal mop head, you can use that thousands of times before you need to replace it. You know, you clean it out, you let it dry, and then you get it back next time you need to mop something. So we have this real disposable environment, too. These guys are coming up with great ideas. And the best thing is to make things your disposable, because they're constantly making you more money. It's like the whole thing with, let's bring up another thing, inkjet printers. Inkjet printers are the best marketing I think I've ever heard in my life. And everybody gets one. Why? Because they're cheap. And let me tell you, the cheapest inkjet printers, they'll give to you for free. If you notice that with every Dell computer, they'll throw in an inkjet printer for nothing. You know why? It's because they don't make their money on the printer mechanism. They don't care about that. They make their money on those silly cartridges. Have you ever comprehended why there are standard supplies for like inkjet printers, for instance? How come Hewlett-Packard has probably 200 different sizes of inkjet cartridges? You know why? Number one, the biggest reason why is because they don't want you to go out and buy a competitor's replacement inkjet cartridge. There used to be a big business in buying off-brand inkjet cartridges. And that made a lot of sense when there was only like two or three made, and some place in China could crank out an exact duplicate of an HP cartridge and fill it. It's, you know, they could do it cheaper. You know, you're not buying the HP brand name. It's basically about the same. HP cured that by saying, we're going to have 200 different inkjet cartridges, each one completely different for each one of our printers. Each printer takes a different cartridge. It's amazing. And people always get upset and go, rah, 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 rah. I have to throw away all these cartridges and buy new ones when I get a new printer. And you go, that's the whole point. They're not selling printers, they're selling cartridges. When they have 200 of them, it costs a ton for another company to try to duplicate every single design. So they don't. All of a sudden, you probably notice that it's becoming harder to just buy cheaper inkjet cartridges. A lot, but they only make them for the most popular models. And they aren't the modern ones. They're the old ones. These things aren't made to last very long either. And that's okay, because that's kind of what people want. People want the newest and the best. You know, oh, I'm going to get a new one because they're better. No, not necessarily. I use a 6-7-year-old laser printer. I like laser printers because they're less expensive to operate. The toner costs less, all that stuff costs less. There's secondhand places that do my cartridges. They're very cheap. And they last forever. But that's the way I think. Everybody else doesn't think that way. That's why, because we're a very disposable culture. Have you figured it out yet? You figured out why HP does what it does? It infuriates you, but you know what? You're not infuriated so much that you'll buy something else. You'll continue to buy what they're selling. You will continue to take the free printer, and to justify the fact that you have it and you don't want to go out and buy a new printer, you'll buy cartridges from Dell. You'll stock up. You'll actually buy a multi-pack. And the great part is when that printer dies, after the warranty's up, of course, that's the biggest thing. It has to last through the warranty, but that's all. So it's almost like they break down at year one plus a day. You've still got 5 of the inkjet cartridges for that printer. But all of a sudden, you go and Dell says, oh, we don't make that printer anymore. That's why they constantly change the design. It isn't just to say, oh, we made it better. That's marketing. We made it better. It is so that you're trapped into those cartridges. You bought them, but you can't use them again. The next printer that you buy, probably from Dell, because you've dealt with them before, And that's the way people are. They tend to deal with the people they've dealt with before. They'll sell you a new printer, and of course you'll buy a whole bunch of cartridges to go with that. That's how it goes around. They're not interested in whether you get efficiency out of it. That's not important in the least. The whole point is making the maximum amount of money off of it. And that's how they've chosen to do it. A very consumable environment. Very consumable society. And so all the institutions in our society go toward making this society work, because it's actually run by business people and by politicians. You know? Our corporations and schools kind of grew up together. And they both serve each other. Government has control of school. Corporations have a lot of clout with government. You know, government has its needs too. It needs a constant stream of workers. It needs a constant stream of workers to keep things going. You know, answering the phone, you know, working at the welfare office. It needs a constant stream of teachers too to keep schools going. That's probably one of the biggest shticks the government has, is actually education, strangely enough. And it controls education. So a whole lot of what goes into education is the perpetuation of school. These things have nothing to do with education. These things have nothing to do with creating thinking, thoughtful people. They don't want thinking, thoughtful people. They want a person who's well-trained, who knows how to do the system. They don't want people questioning the system. They don't want people... they don't want people seeking to change the system or to make things difficult. That was what got me canned. I think it's really down to it. It's like, you just don't know how to play the game. And the whole game is, do what the school asks you to do, and you'll get paid for it. And you can expect to live your entire life, work for 25 years, maybe even more. We always lionize teachers who teach for 50 years. And let me tell you, it's honest. It used to be easier. It's much harder to be a teacher these days than it was like 30 years ago. For the sole reason that 30 years ago, once a teacher got her shtick down for year after year after year, that's all they had to do. They would do the same thing this year that they did last year, the year before that. That my dad teaches art, still does. He's been teaching art for probably 6 or 7 years. And he said his first couple of years were rough because he was getting all of his junk together. Now, it's much easier for him because he has all of his stuff. He only has to dink around with it just a little bit to make it fit if there's some new criteria. Now things are getting more difficult for teachers, and a lot of teachers are just getting out of it for the sole reason that every single year things are shaken up. You know, there's a new thing that comes down from state government. They constantly have to be tinkering with things because there's now this whole attitude that schools have to get better. And schools have no interest in getting better. That's not important. Schools have an interest in getting money in, tax money in, and doing what it takes to continue to keep the money flowing in. You know, it used to be far easier 30 years ago. That was before school reform. Everybody just trusted school. You had a school, your kids went there, they did all their assignments, and they learned. You know, not a bad deal. If we still had that kind of a system, I think it'd be quite workable, and you wouldn't have to worry about teachers so much. You know? They always say, oh, our teachers are so much better trained now. They're so much better educated. But you go, but our kids are no smarter. In fact, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of surveys, there's a lot of stuff, there's even some research that says our kids aren't. Our kids are actually dumber. And you go, I'm confused. So, wait a minute, you know, all of our kids are supposedly smart, but yet not. Because we've got so much better teachers, or they're so much better paid. That's probably the biggest thing. They've been to school longer. That's probably the biggest thing. They've been in training longer. And you go, honestly, that's all there is to it. I used to talk to old-time teachers, you know, the guys who are like in their 70s and that taught in the 50s and the 60s. Predominantly, you know, put their time into all that stuff. And when you talk about the pedagogy, they would just kind of smile and they'd say, hey man, I did what I did. I taught school. You know, some of them went on to be superintendents or principals or yada, yada, yada. So this guy said, yeah, I taught science for 30 years. And said, you know, and I taught science for 30 years, because that's all there ever was to it. They didn't have, like, a pedagogical thing. They said, these were the books I used, and the books never really changed. They would change a little bit, not the incredible rate they change now. Now, books change every single year. You remember in the old days, let me give you a classic example of how things have changed. You know, in the old days, our textbooks used to be stamped in the front, and it'd have all these lines, and kids would sign their names on the lines and put the year that they used the book and in what condition the book was in. Well, these stamp things would have, what, 8, 9, 10, 12 lines, and most of them would be full. That textbook was being used for 12 years. You know what? That's not even true today. Your textbooks today get changed out every single year. Well, you know, when I was getting ready to start teaching, it was on a 4-year cycle. Every 4 years, your textbooks would change. And I think that might still be true. But it's starting to condense down. You don't need that big stamp in the front with 12 things. You only need 4 lines. Maybe even 3, too. Because that's how long that book is going to last. And they go, well, it's because we learned so much more. And I said, no, we don't. We don't learn that much more. The basics are pretty much still the basics. People have gone back to the old textbooks and they said, boy, this is a textbook for a 6th grader? Wow! I think my 12th grade, my senior kids would struggle with this. And you go, we're confused. How come our new system that's so much better, that's so much more skilled, how come our kids can't handle it? And you go, maybe it's because we spend too much time managing them. Maybe it has more to do with what are we up to? Or maybe we've taken them away too much from everything else. School has become the center of the universe where it didn't used to be. Or maybe it was. I don't know. I'm not really sure what it is. All I know is things have changed. And even though they say, oh, these changes are going to make things better, we see obvious results. They're not. So on this next MP3, I think I will talk about what I think would be the thing to do. And where I think school can fit in with this thing, with what can be done. My name is Shane Everett. This is Quasi Indefatigable Zenilith. Hey, if you need more information about all these things, go to the internet and go to Quix, Quix.us. And you can learn more about all this stuff. You can get more of these wonderful MP3s. My name is Shane Arrow. Have a great day.